Our scripture reading for this morning is from the Old Testament book of Leviticus. We don't often hear scripture passages from Leviticus, and so I invite you to listen closely. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. If you wish, you may follow along in your Bibles. Leviticus 25, 1 through 7. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'When you enter the land that I am giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath for the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their yield. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap the aftergrowth of your harvest or gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. It shall be a year of complete rest for the land. You may eat what your land yields during its Sabbath, you, your male and female servants, your hired and your bound laborers who live with you, for your livestock also, and for the wild animals in your land. All its yield shall be for food.'" May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. I invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So a number of months ago, I learned about this amazing discovery. Trees talk to each other. Did you hear about this? Trees talk to each other. There's a lot of conversation going on out there, and we're not even hearing it at all. It's true. It's true. I mean, of course, it's not the "how you doing today?" "Not so bad. How are you doing today?" kind of chatter. It's far, far different from that, but even crazier than that. There's this whole intricate, resilient underground network that is there for trees. Some are calling it the Wood Wide Web. I think that's great. So individual trees, especially in a forest, they are connected through these underground networks. And these networks, they actually consist of these very fine root-like tips. And those root-like tips connect with one another and connect with other trees. And so through them, hormonal messages occur, chemical messages, even slow pulsing electrical messages. Who knew? Scientists are now deciphering this kind of communication. Those root-like tips, they are kind of fragile, but they are very, very busy, to be sure. They're busy getting the nutrients, you know, out of the ground so that the tree trunks can grow strong and tall and there can be branches. But also they're busy figuring out what it is that needs to be communicated with the other trees, because those messages can tell of drought, disease, even insect dangers. And the trees that receive these messages, they apparently change their behavior accordingly. It's not just underground that the communication happens. Trees apparently put off scents to other trees. It's incredible. Amazing stuff. Read about it for yourself in the book, The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Wohlleben. Now, if you don't want to read that kind of a book, I suggest maybe you Google the article that I read. I did the shortcut version, and it was from Smithsonian Magazine. So that's an incredible source, to be sure. So I feel like all of us should go around wearing T-shirts that say, "Have you hugged a tree today?" Right? But even more heartbreaking it is then when we think about the Amazon rainforest, the raging fires happening with nothing being done. We are told that that area is actually the lungs of our planet. And in this time of climate change and concern, don't we need healthy lungs more than ever? Very sad. So forests and communities of people are a lot alike. Trees need each other. People need each other. The intricacies of how all the relating happens and communication goes on, it's far richer and far more vast and deeper than any one of us can imagine. We can't even observe it with the naked eye. And just like with forests, the better the communication in communities, the more resources are shared to the best advantage possible, the more efficient things happen, and the better able our age groups to look out after each other. I learned that even trees do this. The older, wiser trees, they look out after the younger, the less experienced trees. It's an incredible thing. So the more that happens, the stronger communities are, and the more resilient. I mean, we're talking communities, forests, just take your pick. The key, of course, is to ensuring a quality of the network. And then to ensure the quality of the network, two things have to happen. It's obvious, I think. Roots need to take shape and form, right? Roots need to find needed grounding, the right amount of nourishment, the right nourishment for the times. Again, please, people, take your pick. So if this is the case, and undeniably it is, tell me, what's the state of your roots today? If at the end of the day, the quality, the deepening, the life resourcing that we have through our root system determines so much, what's the state of your roots? You see, your roots are not all about you. Not by a long shot. The wellness, the health of the communities that you are involved in depend on how well you are shored up in this way. And don't forget the nature of this intricate web that's going on, this web of belonging. So how well and how deep you have personally dug down matters. It matters. It matters for the whole. From the shallowest of ground, are you putting your roots in? Are you finding the right nourishment further down in the right amount of it? Can't answer that question in a moment, in an hour, a day, or even a week. It's a question that needs to work inside of you for a length of time. It's a question you need to bring to your God for discernment and for learning and listening and growing. The amazing thing about what the Hebrew people did is that they looked out for the quality of their physical soil, right? They recognized, so long ago, I mean, this is ancient stuff, they recognized what went on beneath the surface of the ground really was a foretelling kind of thing for what could be seen visibly above the ground. And it's not any kind of leap to think about how this practical application that they had really can impact our thinking about our own lives. The ancient account of Leviticus says that the Hebrew people were commanded for 6 years to sow their fields, prune their vineyards, and then they were commanded that the seventh year was to be complete rest for the land. Interesting. A Sabbath year of complete rest for the land and for the Lord. That's what the scripture says. For the Lord? Well, rest for the land to recover from its depletion was considered something that needed to happen for God's sake. During the Sabbath year, they were told that they could eat from the land. And what the land yielded at this time, thank goodness, you know, that was the case. But they had to let the land rest, to renew, to restore, to take time to repair, to be ready for the next season of growth. And if your mind has gone to the Sabbath day, as I am talking, well, for good reason. 6 days, seventh day, day of rest. Catch a theme going on here? I think in our highly, highly pressurized culture, the idea of Sabbath anything is a hard concept to wrap our minds around. Rest and renewal are words that can be hard to swallow out of concern. They point to some kind of weakness. The kind of thing I've been talking about is so foreign. It's so countercultural, especially in our 24/7 world where, you know, people find themselves answering emails at midnight, you know. So it's foreign, and our culture is so high pressure, but our culture is also so superficial. I mean, if you ask somebody, how are your roots doing? They would think that you were talking about whether or not their hair coloring had enough coverage, right? And yet we readily observe how grumpy we get when we don't get enough sleep. So who's kidding who? Deep down, inside of us, we know how important rest and renewal are. The biblical witness is certainly a countercultural way in this way. It leads the way, and it shows us how necessary attention to needed grounding is so, so invaluable. And remember Jesus' parable about the sower and the seed. The sower sows all the seed, and only that which falls on fertile ground actually grows. And so I ask you to think about, what state are your roots in? How have you renewed your soul life? And if you're not sure how they are doing lately, check in with others who are close to you, significant others, others that maybe you live with. Be concerned if they say things like you're never around anymore, or it feels like you have such a short fuse. Wonder if you have your priorities right. They may in fact tell you that you have been too busy for them. Ouch. And when we're too busy for the other people in our lives, you can bet we haven't paid close enough attention to our roots and the way the communication happens through them when they find enough nourishment, when they find enough that they need for health. Trees and forests. People, take your pick. So let's be real, though. That phrase, "I am so busy," has been a catchphrase. Michael has shared with you many, many times how he hears about that with young families. I hear about that with whatever age group. It really doesn't seem to matter. And it's a little scary. It's like, you know, everything in the land is being used up and used up and used up, and then what's left? We ask someone, "How are you doing?" "I'm so busy." "How's the family?" "Everyone's just so busy." "How's vacation?" "We were so busy." It doesn't take a rocket scientist, you know, to say that something is wrong with this picture. And how do we find time for God in all of this busyness? How do we find time to remember it's in God we live and we move and we have our very beings? Last spring during Lent, if you were around during that time, on Wednesday evenings in our chapel services, we used the theme of Sabbath and kind of teased apart what that means in 2019. And I referred a lot to Wayne Muller's book. It's a great book. It's entitled Sabbath. And he had this beautiful quote in there. I think it's so helpful and has to do with, you know, how we need to really reflect on our spiritual rootedness. He said this: "We say, 'I'm so busy,' to one another, and we say it as if it is like a badge of courage. We say it as if it is something to be proud of. We say it and we're exhausted and we can't get through our to-do lists. We say it so automatically that we don't even hear ourselves saying it anymore." So, I would like for you to think about where your Sabbath time is in life. And that naturally leads me to talking about my own personal 3-month Sabbath. Begins just in a few days. This coming Friday, to be precise, is the beginning of my sabbatical. Something I've never experienced before. I wrote about it in our September Hill Topics newsletter. You'll be getting that in a few days. And I wrote that the purpose for me will be renewal. It's hard for me to imagine not being with you on Sundays. Truly, it is. How will I deal with not participating in the life of my beloved congregation? You're my family. You really are my family. And if truth be told, I'm having some separation anxiety. But I never would have greatly received this gift of a Sabbath time if I wasn't ultimately confident that we will all do just fine. Wilson Memorial Church will do just fine. I'll do just fine. Michael will ably take over the helm in my absence. And I will, quite frankly, be tending to the state of my spiritual roots. Like trees in a forest, you know? This kind of thing is never about the individual. Ultimately, it's about the quality, the web of our connectedness. So what will I be doing during these 3 months? Well, I'll be eating bonbons and watching Dr. Phil. I'll be attending contemplative prayer retreats, visiting with family, pursuing more intentionally some of the creative pursuits that I have just loved in the past and adored but have put on the back burner. I'm going to do a little more yoga, Carolyn. You can hold me accountable to that, because our physical wellness is a spiritual thing, right? I look forward to a deeply nourishing soul time, and I'm very, very grateful for it. I'm grateful beyond words, truly. Please take my modeling seriously, though. Please take this example seriously. Look for ways that you need to be about your own nourishing. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other, my brothers and sisters, my family. Take care of each other till we meet again. I'm not going to be around. That's the reality. I'm not going to be dropping in from time to time at a worship service. That's the reality. A sabbatical means time away. It's hard for me to say the words that I just said, but it's the truth. So take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Let Michael know of needs, presenting needs. I feel like, this is personal here, sometimes I am the last to know when you're in the hospital. I mean, really? Let us know. Let Michael know, I mean. Let him know. Let him know of how he can help you. Don't feel like he doesn't want to know. He wants to know. That's what we're about. That's what ministry is all about. So take care of yourselves, take care of each other until we meet again. And I will be sure to let you know how all of this has gone for me, how the digging down into my personal grounding has gone for me. And rest assured, I will look forward with joy to being back among you, especially leading worship on Sunday, December 1st. Thank you.